Hello, welcome to Mums, Mysteries and Murder. I'm Marty.
And I'm Effie.
And happy 2024!
I know, we're into 2024. This is the first podcast, which is exciting. First podcast of the year.
It does seem a bit crazy saying happy 2024 in February, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does, because January is the longest month in ever. It just goes on and on and on and on, isn't it? So you're like halfway through the month and thinking, it must be the end of January by now.
Yeah. I think January is particularly hard in Scotland because it's so bloody cold and dark.
I know, it is. It's really tough. And we've had lots of storms and stuff as well, which isn't great.
Yeah.
Like last week it was quite warm. And then the next day it was super windy and you're like, what is going on?
I mean, when we say warm.
Yeah, I mean like 10 degrees.
It wasn't like you still had a scarf on.
Yeah. That's warm, I think. For me, that's warm.
Yeah. Warm for winter.
Yeah.
How was your Christmas?
Christmas was a distant memory now. Mm-hmm. It was fine. It was quite quiet because illness struck, as it just seems to be striking all the time. So we just had like a little quiet meal on Christmas Day. We went out for a walk.
Yeah,
and then
that's
that
nice.
Was kind of it, really. Did you have a nice time?
Yeah. We sort of had a really quiet Christmas as well, but it was quite good because there's no hassle. We didn't really get to sleep in. You never get to sleep in, do you? No matter how old your kids are.
No.
Yeah, it was pretty good, actually. It was pretty calm, pretty good. We didn't do too much. You know how, like, as a mum, you think you see people on Instagram at pantomimes and like all these other things, and then you think, oh, we should have been doing that. Why didn't I book that? Like, why haven't we done that? I didn't have any of that this year.
Did you not? Because you're normally quite good at going along and seeing stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, we did a few things. I mean, I had a little bit of a, when I saw people going to shows and stuff, I thought, should we have booked some of this stuff?
But yeah.
He's getting older now and he likes to go out with his friends and he went ice skating and did all that sort of stuff. So that was kind of good. Yeah.
Yeah. I took my little girl ice skating and I'm terrible at it. She was like whizzing away, boom, boom, boom. And I was like just, my arms were so sore afterwards because I basically just hold on for dear life, like pull myself around the rink. I made it around twice. And even that took like about half an hour to get around it twice. I was
oh my gosh.
I'm just going to, I'm going to just stand. And then there were people like just falling about and just crashing. And you just think, oh my goodness. We need to go to Canada and get some tips from Canadians, I think, because, yeah, there was not good ice skating going on the day that we were there.
I'm not really one for ice skating. I haven't got good balance, so I'm not good with that. I'm not even good at carrying things to a table. I've got a fear of, like, cake, carrying a big cake, like, you know, if it's a birthday cake or something.
Yeah, special
I've got
cake.
An actual fear
of
carrying that to anywhere. Like, if you have to go pick up a cake, I will not hold it in the car. Take someone else.
No.
I can't do it. I've got a fear of it.
Have you ever done it? Have you ever dropped anything?
No. I did waitressing for a couple of days. That's all. When I was like 18. But I was rubbish. I've just not got good balance. I need to hold on to things and, you know, it's not good. What have you been watching? There's been so much good TV.
Obviously. Traitors is like my number one. That is amazing. I just binge watched both series. I was like, this is fantastic. And then they've got like ones in Australia and they've got the US ones as well. But so yeah, I've been watching Traitors. Did you watch that too?
Yeah, that's amazing. It's very frustrating to watch it though. But yeah, the American one, the second series of the American one is about to hit the UK. So I'm really excited for that.
Okay. Did you see the first series?
Yeah, the first. I actually watched the first series of Traitors in the American version.
Okay.
And then I watched the British version. Alan Cumming is so good, isn't he?
Is he? I don't know. I've not seen it.
He's just so weird and just he's so dramatic and hilarious and just brilliant.
Because I love Claudia Winkleman. I mean, mainly because of the clothes that she wears.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's one of those, like, if you start, you know, like a song and hear it, like the original and you're like that's the best one, even if like this the remake of it is just as good, you're kind of used to the. So I'll need to watch the American one and see what it's like.
It is Fantastic. I also watched just recently, what was it called? Have you got Netflix at the moment, or are you still off Netflix?
No, I don't have Netflix. Is it something amazing?
Yes, it was called American Nightmare. Is that what it was called? So it was about a couple who he rang 911 the next day in the morning and said that his girlfriend had been kidnapped. And it was a whole story about that.
Is it true? Like a true story?
Incredible. Yeah, it was a documentary.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So good, because it just twists and turns and then you're like, is he dodgy? Is she dodgy? Amazing. So good.
Right, okay. So what was it called? American something?
American Nightmare.
Just so that I can put it into my diary for like 5 years' time.
When you've got Netflix back, yeah, no problem. I think it was American Nightmare, I'm pretty sure. Absolutely amazing.
Okay, okay.
And they actually had a documentary on Channel 5 last week about, I should have Googled her name. Was it Nicola? You know, the woman who was, who tragically died. She fell into, well, they think she fell into the river.
Oh,
Nicola Bulley.
Oh, Nicola Bulley. Oh, yeah, yeah. Just recently. Was that not just last year?
Yeah, this time last year, okay. I think it was. So they had a documentary about, they had a documentary about it on Channel 5 and like the police and all the social media stuff and all the stupid people turning up with their camera phones. That was really good.
Poor lady. So that was just literally some kind of freak accident that she had. She just stumbled and fell into the river or something.
I think so. I don't really know. They never clarified it, did they? They had that weird conversation about she's struggling with menopause, but that doesn't mean that she's going to throw herself into a river. It could just mean she's struggling with menopause, couldn't
it? Of course. Didn't she have like her, she was on a conference call on her phone or something. It was just awful. Just like,
and her dog was there, and it was just not handled well by the police at all.
No. Well, and also like everybody, all the sort of vultures that kind of pounced on it and were speculating and turning up on the scene and things as well, which is just awful. Yeah.
It wasn't great. But speaking of true crime, we have an important announcement that we made over Christmas, and we haven't done a podcast since then.
Yeah. Well, we tried to do an announcement, but
yes, we did. That was a disaster.
So we're going to CrimeCon.
Woohoo!
Amazing. On April the 27th, I want to say. It's a Saturday.
April the 27th.
Amazing.
At the Hilton in Glasgow. It is going to be amazing. If you would like to come and come and say hello to us, we are actually going to have a stand. Can you believe people are entrusting us with a stand?
Hopefully nobody will ask you to carry a cake, though, Marty, because
no one's going to get me to carry a cake, because that would be that would be a huge disaster. If you head to crimecon.co.uk and use the code MUMS10, you can get 10% off your ticket, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So how exciting is that? I'm so excited.
I've been looking at some of the speakers and thinking, oh, this looks so good. There's like a forensic psychologist who I've seen doing things before. And then there's another, there's a pathologist that's going to be there as well, which is like, wow. So I hope can just like slip out and actually listen to some of the speakers.
I'm so excited about going to see some of the speakers. And of course, our friend Dawn from Scottish Murders is going to be there.
She is going to be there, which is going to be lovely.
So exciting. And the ticket gets you everything. So it gets you into all the speakers. You get to come and meet us. Why wouldn't you want to do that? And it includes lunch. So you get a buffet. I think it's a hot buffet lunch, tea and coffee, all the things. Aww. Yeah.
And just get to meet people that are into the true crime as well, which is cool, I think.
I know. It's going to be a tiring day, I think, isn't it? Because it's very exciting for us.
Might be. I'm completely socially awkward.
No, so you're not.
I'm going to have to, like, duck down.
Why do you think that? You're not.
I just, honest, some of the things that I come out with are just like, what's wrong with me?
You say all right things, though. See, I put my foot in my mouth a lot. I always say the exact wrong thing. So, like, if I found out someone's died in someone's family, I'll just, like, accidentally say, oh, geez, you think someone died. Or, like, I just, everything that's wrong.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's not good. Oh, we're going to be a great couple then.
We are going to be. Come and see us.
I'll be, like, hiding in the toilet and you'll be, like, saying yelling some awful really controversial loudly thing.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna need a lot of coffee, so it's gonna be a long day, but it's going to be amazing. So come and see us.
Yeah. And I think we've got stuff to hand out. Are we handing things out?
Yes. So we are going to have some, like, just, a, you know, a few little bits of free merch that we haven't decided on yet. So
special.
That is going to be really cool as well. I can't wait to see what everyone else has got. It's going to be really cool.
Let us know if you're going. Send us a message on Instagram so that we can look out for you.
We'd love to know. Yeah, we would love to know if you're coming. That would be amazing.
That would be so good.
We're very friendly.
Yeah, we are very friendly.
We're not as bad as we've just made out we are.
No, I'm just verbal diarrhea and you're just a bit,
overexcited. Yeah. Everything doesn't always go to plan. I suppose we should start because everyone's been waiting. I feel like we've all been waiting time for us. Yeah, we really appreciate it. We just needed a break in January. We were exhausted after Christmas, weren't we? And we just really needed a break. We've both got lots of things going on. We were just saying before we started recording that we just needed to get to the end of February and now we just need to get to the end of March.
To March.
And everything will be fine.
March will be good, I think.
Yeah.
Once we make it to March, it'll all be rosy.
Yeah.
So I'm doing the story today, which is exciting. And it is, dun, 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 it's another Edinburgh case. This is the fourth one that I've covered from this beautiful city that we live in, which is very murderous, apparently. I mean, how crazy is that? And it's actually our lovely, long-suffering Erin, the editor, who suggested this case.
Oh, no way!
And I hadn't really heard of it. So, yeah, let me know if it rings a bell with you, Marty, because it's a bit of a mental one.
I don't know many Edinburgh cases, though. That's the thing. I don't, considering I live here and I'm into true crime, I actually know surprisingly little about cases in Edinburgh.
Yeah. Well, I suppose there wasn't, apart from the kind of world-end murders, there wasn't any kind of like real, like serial murder or anything like that, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of random, horrible stuff happened. So this one is the Salisbury Crags murder. So the Salisbury Crags are the kind of cliffy hills. I didn't research what the
is that the technical term?
Salisbury cliffy Crags actually were. The cliffy hills next
the cliffy
to
hills murder.
It's like a straight ledge and then you've got Arthur's Seat, which is like a
hump.
Oh. So that's Salisbury Crags. It's the kind of craggy bit.
So are they, I'm starting already, we're getting in early. No. So are they actually next to Arthur's Seat? So like if you were in Arthur's Seat, could you just walk across to them?
Yeah, it sort of merges into one.
Ah, should we explain what Arthur's Seat is? It's not actually a seat for our American listeners.
No, and I'm not sure what, thank you for raising this now, because I should have like probably.
You're very welcome.
Researched why it's called Arthur's Seat. Actually, do you know what I think I did? I think it's the name of some English guy a long, 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 long time ago called Arthur. Actually, that could be completely wrong. Anyway, Arthur's Seat is like an old volcano?
Is it?
Am I talking rubbish?
I don't know. You're the one that's from Scotland. The castle was like built on an old volcano, wasn't it? Oh my God, we're so useless.
Well, to be fair, it's you didn't even know that I was going to be doing this. I should probably have covered it.
To be fair, yes, that's true. Yeah. I'm less shit than you.
So it may or may not be an old volcano, but it's basically like a big hill right in the middle of the city, and at the bottom of it you've got the Parliament and Holyrood Palace, so it's really beautiful. Like when you see the photos, when you see the photos of like Edinburgh, you will have like the castle and then there's like Arthur's Seat in the background. It's just stunning. It's such a beautiful city.
It's like big hills, isn't it?
Yeah,
big hills. Did you know I've never been to the top of Arthur's Seat?
Oh, you should go.
I've walked it's around it. You know how you can walk around it?
Yeah,
I do that. I've done that a lot.
Okay.
Because I like the walk around it. And there's like little lakey things and stuff, isn't there, around the outside with swans and shit. That's the technical term. But I've never been to the very top.
You should take your little boy up because it's good fun. It doesn't
take
very long.
Well, he's been up. He's been up a few times with Dan.
Okay.
And so they will go to the top and I'll do the walk around with my headphones.
Oh, right. Okay. You get an amazing view of the city. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful.
It's very, when it's windy though, like when I've walked I can't imagine what it's like at the top, but when it's a particularly windy day, because Edinburgh's so windy anyway all the time, when I've walked around it, it's so windy on like those ledges as you walk around it near the road that I've just had to stop because I couldn't catch my breath.
It's quite steep. Some bits are really steep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which makes it handy if you're in for murdering someone.
How does that make it handy?
Well, you shall find out because I'm about to explain why it makes it handy. So the sources for this are Edinburgh Reporter, Edinburgh News, a podcast called Square Mile of Murder podcast, which I'd never heard of. But
is that a Scottish podcast?
Glasgow, yeah. Okay. And it was pretty good. The Daily Record, one of my favourite sources. Classy. The Scotsman. And then the Murder They Wrote podcast, that's Laura Whitmore and her husband, Ian Sterling.
Yes.
They did it as well, because I think he's Scottish.
He's the most Scottish.
Is he?
Okay. Did you know he's the voice of Love Island? He's the guy that does the voice of Love Island. That's him.
Was she on Love Island as well?
Yeah, so she was the...
Is that how
sorry
you
about
met
this, American listeners. I think so. So okay. He does the voiceover and she was the host.
Oh, how romantic.
He's a Scottish comedian. A really, really famous Scottish comedian. I really like his voice. I think he's quite funny.
I thought he was an actor. God, I'm terrible.
I think he has done some acting, but he's just the most Scottish sounding comedian ever, isn't he? He's just so Scottish.
He does sound quite Scottish, yeah. Yeah. That's a good podcast for sort of random little obscure murders.
Okay.
So, taking you back, I think I always say this, taking you back to 1972. So, your favourite decade, Marty.
Oh, my favourite. Yes. Get in there, 70s. I just hit my glasses then. I got so excited. I punched my glasses.
Oh, God. So, West Germany. And Ernest Dumoulin is a 23-year-old trainee bank assistant. And what he does is he posts a Lonely Hearts advert in the local paper.
Remember when that used to be a thing before Tinder? This is going to be a long episode because we haven't seen each other for a while. But remember when that used to be a thing and you couldn't meet someone like online or anything, so people would put ads in the paper? That seems so weird now, doesn't it?
I think, do they still do, you know, the metro that you get on the buses?
Mm-hmm.
They used to have like a section in there like, I saw this beautiful girl on the number 24.
Oh, yes, they did.
I don't know if they still have that because that's like, that was my favourite bit of the whole newspaper, just in case I happen to appear in it. Someone was searching for me in London. It was always in London.
Oh.
Anyway, so Ernest posts this Lonely Hearts advertisement. I didn't manage to find a huge amount of information about Ernest other than he'd been born in Germany, but his family moved when he was a child to Rotterdam in the Netherlands, and then they moved back to Germany. So they kind of moved around a little bit.
Okay.
And he's been described in some of the articles that I looked at as the Dutch conman, which is never a good way of being described. He was apparently a failed financial advisor. So not anything too flattering. But remember, he's only 21. So I kind of think, what has he done at the age of 21 to be given those kind of descriptions, a kind of con man and
quite harsh.
A failed financial advisor.
At 21, you've not really had much of a chance to fail at anything, really, have you?
Apparently he has. He's been a bit of a one already. So Ernest had been engaged to be married in early 1972, but the marriage had been called off in middle of 1972. I don't know why I had to say that. but yeah, I did. The marriage had been called off.
Okay.
So he was feeling a bit lonely. He puts an advertisement in the Lonely Hearts section, and Helga Konrag responded. So Helga was only 18. And she was German. She was described as being a country girl who lived quite a sheltered life on her father's farm.
That is such a strong German name, Helga.
Helga.
And also, I feel like it's very stereotypical, but I knew that you were going to say she lived on a farm because her name was Helga. That just sounds like someone that lives on a farm in Germany. Don't you think?
I can imagine her with like blonde ponytails.
No, I imagine buns. That what you're thinking? Like two buns on each side, because I'm stereotypical and clearly racist. But just Helga on a farm, two buns, and quite, what's the word? Sturdy.
Well, funny you should say that, because I Googled what they looked like, because I don't know about you, but I always have to see what
I know you
look
love
like.
That, don't you? Did they have good personalities? Let us know.
Well, she was beautiful. I could only find one picture of her, but she looked like a movie star. She had like sort of wavy brown hair, and was obviously like really young and just really pretty. And so not at all like sturdy with buns at the side of her head.
Oh, go Helga.
Yeah. So she came from quite an old-fashioned, strict family. So they were brought up on this farm and lived quite a sheltered life. Ernest and Helga exchanged some letters, and after just 3 weeks, so in the July of 1972, Ernest arrived at the family farm and he asked Helga's dad for her hand in marriage after 3 weeks.
Oh, this is all quite sweet so far, isn't it? Apart from the dodgy con man stuff.
I would be like alarms going off if somebody turned up and was like, he hadn't even met her at that stage.
But do you not think, because it was the 70s and it was a simpler time, and do you not think, like, because people got married really young back then,
yeah,
didn't they?
I suppose so, yeah. And I suppose it's sweet that he actually asked his dad, her dad rather.
Yeah.
In the first place, like, that's
although I get what you mean, but I feel like just, you know, if it was now, I'd be like, yeah, big red flags. Mm. But because it's back then, I can forgive it. It's fine.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Go Edward. What was his name? Edward.
Ernest.
Ernest.
Ernest. Ernest and Helga. Beautiful couple. So her dad wasn't that pleased about it, and he refused because she was only 18. And what he said is, why don't you guys wait until Christmas? So he came down in the July. He said, why don't you wait until Christmas before you decide or not to get married? Which I think is pretty fair, actually.
Yeah,
that's
quite
reasonable. Like, get to know each other.
Yeah.
And then if you still want to get married in the Christmas, then I'll think about.
And was he suggesting that the boy live with them on the farm?
No, not at all. I think they were very traditional, so probably nothing
that's
like
fair.
That. But just to kind of, like, meet, I suppose, and get to know each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so that was all fine until Ernest turned up again in September in the same year, so 1972 again. He'd bought a new car, which was a red Fiat. He'd bought the car despite not having enough funds in his account, so he used a cheque to pay for it, and then the cheque bounced. He turned up at the farm, drove to the farm, and asked to take Helga out for a short drive, so a 15-minute drive. And what do you think happened?
That's very specific, a 15-minute drive. Don't ruin this now and tell me that Helga with no buns didn't come back, because I don't want to hear that.
She didn't come back.
Oh, this was
they
all
never
going so
saw
well.
Her again.
What?
The family never saw her again. Isn't that awful?
Oh, that dad knew something was up, didn't he?
I think so. That's, I don't know, maybe he sensed it. That's why he kept her
it's
close until
draining.
Then. I don't know.
I was hoping that, you know, we'd all be happy. Off they'd go with their buns.
Do you think we should, like, record an episode which we throw, like, a curveball and it's, like, really nice?
We should, and nothing
it's a
happens.
A really nice story.
Let's do it.
Oh, my God.
Would you like us to do that? Let us know. Yes, and we'll not tell you when it's going to be. It won't be obvious from the title, and we'll just do it, and then we'll keep putting in like little herrings, red herrings, all through it as though something's going to happen. And then at the end, and it was all fine.
They lived happily ever after.
Yeah, they went to the circus and they had 4 children.
Oh.
That would actually be amazing, because no one, well, they would expect it now, but if we hadn't have said that and just done it, that would have been amazing.
Well, yeah, because we haven't done anything on mums. We could just have, like, a story where the mum, like, got a holiday and had a really nice time and got lots of rest and sleep. And she came back all refreshed and lovely.
That would be so boring to listen to.
How good would that be, though?
I mean, it would be good to do. I don't know if I want to listen to a podcast where a mum goes on holiday and gets a tan and then comes home.
Gets a tan.
gets to eat full meals. No one yells at her, tells her she's a dick, cringe, any of that. That would be amazing. But yeah, I don't know if that would make a very interesting podcast. Oh my God. So she never came back again.
So she never came back. So they did a runner.
This is really sad. I was not expecting that. I know this is true crime, but I was not expecting that to happen then. I actually thought
they
would go off.
In Germany.
I know. What's wrong with Germany being racist to Germany?
Oh, no,
people?
I don't mean that. I just mean Germany like the stories about like a murder that happens in Edinburgh. So,
oh,
like,
yeah.
That would be a bit,
and
be a bit weird if they stayed there. Yeah.
How is this going to, right? I'm going to shut up because I need to know what's going on. I completely forgot they were in Germany. Okay.
Yeah,
continue.
I remember the whole Arthur C. Salisbury crime.
I got excited. Okay, go.
Okay. I need to find out by the end of the episode if Arthur C. is actually a volcano or not. Okay. Right, so they did a runner, basically. Ernest managed to convince Helga to take out her life savings, all £65 of it, which I don't know if that was a lot or not. It doesn't sound like an awful lot, but I guess she's only 18. And they fled the country, never to be seen again by Helga's family.
Oh.
They first travelled to France, where Ernest sold his little red Fiat for £650, and then they bought tickets to London. From London, they then travelled up to Edinburgh, which was, at the time, apparently much easier to get married. So in Scotland, you can get married at the age of 16. And I think that's not the same as other places. I would imagine it's like a bit, I think it's 18 in the rest of the UK and it's 16 here.
Is it? I know we've talked about this before, or we have talked about this before. Other people will remember, but we never remember anything. Once it's on the podcast, it's gone forever from our lives. But I do think we've talked about this before. So is that still the case? It can't still be the case.
Yeah, no, it is still the case. It's
16.
Mental. Yeah. So there's a little village. Sorry if we've talked about this before, but I have absolutely no memory of it. There's like a little village, or maybe it's a town now. It's called Gretna Green.
Mm.
It's just across the border from England. So there used to be in the past, like, well, even now people go down to Gretna Green to get married there. And it was because you could cross over the border and get married at 16. So you could basically elope to Scotland. So they basically ran away with the intention of getting married, because I guess they were in love and they just wanted to get married.
That is a long way to go to get married. Surely there was somewhere in Germany where they could have... I suppose there's not, though. I suppose maybe it was 18 in... But she was 18.
I know, she was 18.
So why couldn't they have done this in Germany?
Well, apparently you only at the time, and I don't know if this is still the case, but in Scotland you only had to stay in the country for 15 days before you were legally able to get married.
Okay.
So presumably that wasn't the case in France. I don't know about Germany. I don't know why they didn't just stay in Germany and do it, but...
Maybe they wanted to, like...
Just get away.
Not have any chance of the father finding them. Yeah,
yeah,
that makes sense.
Maybe they just wanted to just sort of run away. So they turned up in Edinburgh and they stayed in a guest house on Turficken Street, which is... really close to, sorry, I sound like I'm really excited, but that's quite close to where Erin lives.
Oh, is it?
Which is why I think she was like, yay, can you please do this one? Because they stayed like quite close to me.
Erin, yeah. Baby, your neighbours. Your dodgy, dodgy neighbours.
A long time ago, yeah.
That is incredible.
Yeah, so the guest house was on Turficken Street and it was run by a chap called Herbert Wood. They're very old-fashioned names in this.
I like the name Herbert. It sounds like someone that should sell sweets and they're fat and they have a waistcoat.
Oh, like Sherbert.
Don't you think? Yeah, Herbert.
Yeah, he should do that. But he was actually running a guest house instead.
Okay.
Ernest paid 3 weeks' rent in advance. So they stayed for the 3 weeks, allowing them, obviously, to apply to be married at the Scottish Register's office. And I think there's only one in Edinburgh, which is like up on the Royal Mile. Do you remember when we had to register the births of the kids?
I've
got such lovely memories of it. And it's up on the, it's up on the Royal Mile. Anyway, so they stayed for the 3 weeks, with the intention of getting married. Ernest also deposited £250 in the Bank of Nova Scotia in Princes Street and managed to obtain £10,000 credit, which allowed him to take out a string of insurance policies in his wife's name.
I was going to say, how was he able to do that? But then the dodgy credit from the car was in another country and they wouldn't have kept track of that then, would they?
No.
Wow.
It sounds like he's got other intentions, to be honest. On Friday the 13th of October, so 15 days after arriving in Edinburgh, Ernest and Helga were married at the city's registry office, and the witnesses were the landlord, Herbert Wood, and his wife.
Oh, that's really sweet. I like that. There's so many sweet things about this story.
They didn't know anyone else, so I guess they were just like, hey, we're going to get married. Can you come and be our witnesses?
That's really sweet. I like that.
After the wedding, they went out for dinner on Shandwick Place, and then they went out for some drinks. Everything seemed to be totally fine during dinner, so obviously this is coming from Herbert and his wife. Helga had stated that she didn't want to return to Germany after eloping because she thought her parents would be angry. And instead, she wanted to start working as a secretary for Ernest, who, remember, at the time, he worked in a bank, but he was also like a financial advisor. So it all seemed to be like fine. They had come up with a plan. They seemed to be quite happy. And they both returned to the rooms for the night.
Okay.
Or did they?
Dun, dun, dun! Dun!
I love it. So in the early hours of October 14th, a merchant seaman was walking along the foot of Salisbury Crags when he found the body of a young woman, Helga Conrad. He immediately contacted the police, who arrived shortly afterwards. They also found Ernest, who was distraught and told them that they had both gone up a walk up the crags to get a good view of the city when Helga stumbled and fell to her death.
So this was, I've got lots of problems with this. So this was the next morning after they got married.
Was the next morning, yes.
Why were they going for a walk early in the morning?
No idea.
And why didn't he go and get help if she fell?
Well, because...
he's a dick.
I don't think she really fell. I think he's been a bit, like, sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
So at first the police believed what Ernest had told them and escorted him back to the guest house. He was also covered in mud and he had bandaged his own arm. So it was a bit like, well, what happened to you? Your poor wife's just like fallen from this rocky outcrop.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe he would like run down the hill and try and help
her. There's been a struggle, hasn't there? He's tried to push her off and there's been a struggle.
It seems like there's been a bit of a...
yeah. A murder.
Yeah, there's been a murder. Then he apparently was acting really strangely, so he went to his room in the guest room and he would repeatedly play the theme tune to the film Love Story.
No.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
I know. On October the 16th, the police arrived back at the guest house to take him in for questioning, which I think was just probably standard.
Yeah.
But while he was away, Mr. Woods, so Herbert, the owner of the guest house, was a bit sneaky. He went into the room and had a little nosy around, and he found a letter with receipts for the life insurance policy that had been taken out for Helga.
Oh, I love this.
So he's obviously a bit like, oh, why is he taking life insurance on the day that they got married? Was it in the day? Yeah. Well, it was just before they got married. They had taken out this life
also
insurance.
He must have been quite suspicious if he's just going into their room for a little look around, mustn't he? You don't just do that.
I don't know. I mean, maybe people do that in guest rooms.
No, they just don't do that. You're offending everyone that has a guest house now. Sorry, guest house people.
I mean,
owners.
You would. If the parent, like, you've just been to someone's wedding and then she's fallen off a cliff, you're probably going to be like, what on earth? I'm just going to have a wee look and see if I can find anything in here.
I think you would only do it. That's because you're an awful human. No, I'm kidding.
I really would.
You would only do it if you were suspicious. If you weren't suspicious, you'd be like, oh, that poor man, they've just got married. That's so horrible. Mm. What can I do to help? I think you would only go and look in the room if you were suspicious. Definitely.
So I think when the story like first came out, like everyone did feel like that towards Ernest. So they were all like, oh, that's so awful. What a shame.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you're right. Maybe Herbert was just like, oh, there's something not quite right here.
Yeah.
Anyway, he found this letter and receipts and he notified the police because he was like, okay, this is dodgy. The police then contacted the life insurance company and they were told that Ernest had tried to claim the policy on the morning of the 14th of October.
No.
So the very day that she had died.
Why did these people do this? Do you remember the story about the Candyman? The guy that murdered his own child.
Yeah.
With the poisoning of the Halloween sweets. And he did the same thing, remember? He went and tried to claim the life insurance the next day. Give it a few days, people. Give it a few days.
I know. You'd think that we'd just leave it. Just...
Oh, play the game.
Oh, my goodness.
You're too greedy. Oh. They've done all this prep and then they fuck it up by just being too greedy. Just calm your shit down and give it a few days.
A bit more patient.
Not that we're saying people should do this. We're just saying that if you are going to do this, play the game.
Think about it.
Yes. Yes. That's crazy.
Apparently the life insurance hadn't been valid and Ernest had then asked the company to destroy any documents relating to the policies.
So why wasn't it valid?
I don't know why it wasn't valid. I think it maybe was something to do with the fact that like she had been found on the bottom of a cliff and it was a little bit like suspicious at that stage. So there wasn't...
Okay.
I think at the time they didn't treat it as suspicious, but at the same time they were kind of still investigating it, so it wasn't valid. And then subsequently the police kind of did a bit more investigation and found out that actually it wasn't just an accident.
Okay.
So then the police ran some background checks on Ernest and discovered that he had lots of debt and had a bit of a dubious financial past. So they were starting to think, okay, this isn't as innocent as we think it is. Throughout the period, though, Ernest just continued to deny any wrongdoing. He claimed it was just an accident and that she'd slipped, but the police were just having none of it and they decided to arrest him.
What did he say about his arm? Did he have a reason for his arm being all bandaged?
No, I don't think he had. I think he sounded like he was a little bit bizarre in the immediate, like, do you say aftermath?
Yeah.
Aftermath of a murder?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So he was just acting really strange.
Okay. And people do, and to be fair, people do act strangely, don't they? After, like, distress, everyone's, everyone acts differently.
If that was valid, that would be absolutely horrendous thing to have to go through. So the following year, in 1973, Ernest stood trial at Edinburgh High Court. He initially continued to deny that he had murdered Helga. However, the forensics told a different story. So when they looked at the damage that was done to her body and like how she had fallen, it looked like she had been pushed with considerable force.
Okay.
During the trial, he then changed his story and claimed that actually it was Helga who had plotted to con an insurance company by faking his death.
What?
And then he insisted that she tried to kill him on Salisbury Crags. And then she had fallen when he had put his hands up to save himself.
Okay.
So just like bizarre stories that he's coming up with now. I mean, there is no like indication that actually like happened at all.
It's very like convoluted sort of stories, isn't it?
Yeah, like chopping and changing all the time. Yeah. So Ernest was eventually found guilty and sentenced to life imprisonment. He served 16 years. Socked in prison, but they had reduced the sentence because he did actually admit his guilt. So this is what he said happened. It was the darkest night of my life. I held Helga in my arms and kissed her passionately. I wanted her to feel I loved her above everything else. I spoke about how we would have a wonderful future filled with love and wealth, and she believed me. I put a hand on her shoulder and acted as though I had tripped up. Ernest said, I didn't want her to know I was a murderer. I pulled her and her body fell. And after that, everything was quiet.
What? What was the reason that he gave? Did he give a reason for killing her? Was it just the money for the insurance?
It was just to get the money. Yeah, it was just to get the money. Oh,
I hate when they say things like Kelly said, I wanted her to know that I loved her. But you didn't love her because you pushed her off a cliff.
To be fair, though, like she just knew that she was... loved, like she wouldn't have known any, she would have just fallen and like been killed.
Yeah, but
so it's not like she was tortured or anything. I mean, I don't know why I'm even saying this.
I know what you mean. No, I know what you mean.
Less bad murder than other murders. It's like, oh my god,
still murder, but slightly less bad than other murders that are horrific.
But only 16 years in prison. I mean, wow,
that's not long.
So get this: after his release, Ernest said that he'd found God in prison.
Oh, of course he did.
He went on to study theology and work as a Protestant minister in Germany. Oh. And he was even remarried. No. Just unreal.
Why do they? Well, we know why they always, quotation marks, find God, don't we?
Yeah, I guess a lot of people. Do a lot of people find God? I don't know.
Yes, they all find God. All the horrible, most horrible people that go to prison for horrible murders. Like that, the one that killed his wife and his children. Everyone knows who that guy is. And there was the Netflix documentary. Chris, is it Chris?
In America.
Yeah, I feel like it's Chris someone.
Did he find?
He found God.
He was called Chris. I don't know what his surname was.
And like what, I was listening to a podcast the other day. I can't remember who it was, so this is a bit useless, but I have to tell you anyway. They'd murdered, I think, numerous people, and then they got out of prison. I can't remember who it was, but it must have been someone big. They finally got out of prison after years and years in prison, and they were sent to live in a like a monastery with monks.
Oh.
And they could never leave the monastery.
Right, okay.
And that was like their punishment. So they did all the time in jail, and then they had to go and live in a monastery, and they had found God. So they were apparently happy in the monastery. Yeah, it's a bit weird. It's a bit like babysitting, like the monks had to do babysitting.
I suppose, like, if you've done something absolutely horrendous like this, your conscience must be like, this is terrible, and you'll be worried about going to hell. So then you've got to find God so that you can repent and not go to hell.
But then also, if you are capable of doing something that horrible, you're probably not really religious or worried about going to hell.
Yeah, in the first place. Yeah.
I think it's just all an act to get them out earlier.
Maybe. I don't know. So if you go to the bottom of Salisbury Crags, then you will find a plaque to Helga. And it was commissioned by her family, and it says, in loving memory of her daughter Helga Conrad, born 1656, died 1310, 72, buried at Sversbach, Germany, only 300 yards from her parents' home. How sad is that?
Sad.
I know.
I need to go and find that plaque. We need to find the plaque and take a picture.
And listen, so I have also just Googled, and Arthur's Seat is an extinct volcano which erupted around 340 million years ago. There we go.
I can't fathom that date, remember? I have issues. That is a lot. What about the castle then? I'm sure the castle's built on a volcano.
The castle's on a volcano as well.
Why are there so many volcanoes in Scotland?
The rock on which Edinburgh Castle is built on the plug of a volcano.
Okay.
I don't know what a plug of a volcano is, but yeah. So they're both volcanoes.
So could it be the same volcano? How are there two volcanoes that close to each other?
I don't know. I don't know. And I can't believe we're focusing on the volcano.
I don't feel responsible for
this. Took a turn.
Because I'm from Australia and you should know about this.
I don't know at all. I just it's one of those things that are like, it's like, oh yeah, that's really cool, but you don't really think about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, to finish the story.
Yes. Okay. Back
about
to Helga.
Helga.
That's really sad that it's a plank, but it's very nice.
Awful.
Yeah.
I wanted to give it's not really an update on Helga because that was the end of her story, but I just wanted to mention that something similar happened in 2023, which is not that long ago.
No.
It was only last year, and you probably would have seen it in the newspapers. So pregnant 31-year-old Faswazia Javid from Yorkshire was pushed off Arthur's Seat by her husband. She hadn't died when she fell and had managed to tell the police officer who attended to the scene that after trying to end the relationship, her husband had murdered her and pushed her off. She sadly died at the scene after receiving multiple injuries.
Oh,
so
I do remember hearing about just that. Another, that is horrible.
Another one, awful. So that is the case of Helga Conrad. And I feel very sorry for her because she seemed like she was just an innocent girl, and she just was totally like taken on by Ernest.
Yeah, that's
and
very
just
young,
did what he wanted,
wasn't it? Like, to that was a quite a big thing she did, moving countries away from all of her family. She
yeah,
must have had
course.
A lot of faith in him.
Yeah, she must have been in love with him completely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose the good thing is that he did actually confess, and he did sort of show a bit of remorse, and he did kind of explain what happened, because I think the worst thing must be for a family if they don't know what happened, and
yeah,
the murderer never confesses, they just always deny it, and you know that they did it, but like, to have that kind of closure for somebody to actually say, yes, okay, I did, it was me that did it, and this is how it happened.
Especially when it was another country where there's not much mm-hmm. chance they can find out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a horrible story.
So thanks to Erin for suggesting that, because have you heard of that story?
I had never heard of
no,
that story.
I hadn't heard of it either, but I thought it was an interesting one.
It would be interesting to see, not interesting, it would be sad to see how many people in the UK have been pushed off cliffs and died. Because I bet that's not quite common, but I'm sure there's lots of instances where that's happened. Because it's easy to kill someone by pushing them off a cliff, isn't it? Not easy, but...
It's quite hard to, like, prove, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it seems like I don't want to say the wrong words, but it seems like an easier way to murder someone than, you know, if you were to strangle someone or all the other horrible ways people get murdered. A cliff seems...
Yeah. But then they did manage to, like, the forensic team managed to, like, identify that she had actually been pushed, which is, like, crazy. I don't know how they did that.
Maybe it's, like, the force of her
yeah,
hitting the ground.
Yeah, it was the force. Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to know what sort of forensics they had then to pick that up. Because you can't really imagine them having, I know it was only the 70s, but I can't really imagine them having loads of, like, access to forensics.
I wonder if it was partly, like, the forensics, but also the jury kind of thinking he's just dodgy and, like, convicting him
maybe
on that basis, which obviously that could go really badly wrong. But...
And with the background and the life insurance.
Yeah.
Speaking of a completely different thing altogether, did you see that Gypsy Rose Blanchard's out of jail now?
I saw that. She looks great.
Yeah.
Doesn't she? She looks all, like, normal, and I just feel like, go you. Is that terrible?
I don't know.
She did murder her mum.
Well, she didn't technically do it, did she? But she
plotted. Well, yeah, I suppose
plotted
the boyfriend
and...
did, yeah. But I just think her mum was evil.
It's an awkward case because I watched the documentary, I think it was on, not Channel 5, I don't know what it was on, Crime, one of the crime networks, and they interviewed her from prison just before she was released.
Okay.
And she got married and stuff. She got not remarried because she was never married, but she got married and they interviewed her dad and, like, her stepmom, and everyone was so supportive and stuff.
I just think her mum was awful. I think with that one, like, she just was so evil. She just, what a life that the poor girl must have had, and she must have just been desperate to kind of escape.
It's just such a difficult case because what she did wasn't, you know, it was horrible. What happened was horrible to her mother, and it's still her mother. But yeah, it was pretty awful.
Because didn't she used to, like, switch up doctors and things so that they didn't?
Yeah.
But then wasn't there, like, one doctor that had written down, like, I think it's, what do you call it? Munchausen's? And you just think, was there?
Yeah. There was a few doctors that were sort of on to her. And
you just think, oh, I wish, like, somebody just could have helped and, like, stepped in a bit more. But that's always the case, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's always like, oh, why didn't the neighbours do something?
Like, child protection stuff as well, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's quite difficult to get things done. Do you know what I mean? It's like they have to go through so many procedures. But, yeah, that was another thing where more doctors sort of knew when they tried to do something. And,
just very sad.
It's all very sad and awful. But, yeah, interesting that she's out. I kind of feel happy for her. I don't know.
I do.
I'd love to know what people think about that.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think. Because you feel happy for her, but you also feel really awful feeling happy for someone that did that, even though she technically didn't do it, but plotted and went off with him.
She was behind her. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really interesting. Brilliant. I loved that. Thank you, Erin.
Yes, thank you so much, Erin.
If you do have any suggestions, please feel free. Give us a suggestion. I've actually got my case ready for next month already.
Do you? And what is it?
I'm not going to tell you, but do you know what? I'm happy to say bring on March because it's not going to be as dark as all the things we've covered.
Is it a feel good one?
I don't want to say feel good. It's not our red herring episode.
Okay.
But it is a lot less dark than, I think it's probably our lightest case, if you can say that.
Okay. Interesting. Well, that would be good then.
And it might have some slight parallels to this one as well. Do you know what? I did the research for this about 5 months ago.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And I've had it waiting to go, and I'm so excited to do it because it's quite complicated, but it's not as dark.
Okay.
Like, we can have a bit more fun with it, so it's not as dark. So bring on March.
And is it Australian?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Nice. Oh, that's exciting then. I can't wait for that.
We need to do that one. We might do it next week. So I think that's it. Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you for listening, guys.
Thank you for listening. We have had another review as well. So thank you for everyone that's doing reviews. Please keep reviewing us. And don't forget to go and have a look at crimecon.co.uk and use your code MUMS10. And please let us know if you're going to come because we would love to meet you. We can talk red herrings. We can talk throwing people off cliffs. We can talk about George Michael and Monty Don. We can talk about 90s
music. You can give us
your
recommendations as well.
Amazing. We'd love to meet you. So please let us know if you are planning on coming to the Glasgow Crime Con in April. There is going to be one in London, but we're going to be in Glasgow. I think that's it for now.
I think it is. Yeah.
Please subscribe, do the reviews, all the things. Come chat to us on Instagram. We'll be running our Instagram a bit more now that we're back. And I think that's it for now. We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Bye.